with today's worship service. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, the physical connection between the body and the mind, what does that mean to us? Well, there is, our body is what we use to get around. If we didn't have our body, we would have nothing. So, there's got to be some importance to it. Do you think that our body has any spiritual mind connection? I do. I think it does. I think it's got a huge connection with it. And who gave us our body? Yes, God did. I thank him every day for mine, because if I didn't have it, I'd be stuck. I can move. I'm not paralyzed or anything. And each one of us should probably be really thankful for that. So what God has given us, we should take care of, right?
Amen.
So here's a quote that I like to read from Councils on Diet and Foods. It's actually the first two paragraphs of the book. And it says, "Only one lease of life is granted us, and the inquiry which everyone should make should be, how can I invest my powers so that they may yield the greatest profit, the greatest profit? How can I do the most for the glory of God and the benefit of my fellow men? For life is valuable only as it is used for the attainment of these ends." That sounds like something every Christian should probably do and think about, but I'll continue with the quote. "Our first duty toward God and our fellow beings is that of self-government. Every faculty with which the Creator has endowed us should be cultivated to the highest degree of perfection, that we may be able to do the greatest amount of good of which we are capable. Hence, that time spent to good account, which is used in the preservation of physical health and mental health. We cannot afford to dwarf or cripple any function of body or mind. As surely as we do this, we must suffer the consequences." Have you ever wondered why we get sick? I do that all the time. I'm still trying to learn why, and there's got to be something, because as I read stuff like this, and of course, other books, and I have a very deep interest in health, and I want to know why certain things happen. Why do people get cancer? Why do they get diabetes? Why do they have all these health problems? And of course, there has to be a cause, which we should all, it's our duty to God to take care of this. So as, that being said, I would think that we should all study and make the body our study. And I'm sure the doctors in here would probably agree wholeheartedly with me, but have you ever wondered, is it a sin to not take care of it? To eat stuff? To, not go to bed on time? To not, these little things that we do. Have you ever wondered, if that's something that's serious? I wonder that, and so I just typed it in, something like that. And I found another, a couple pages over in Councils on Diet and Foods. It says, "It is as truly a sin to violate the laws of our being," which are, of course, the health laws, "as it is to break the Ten Commandments. To do either is to break God's laws." Now, that sounds pretty heavy right there, But she kind of goes on to say in the next sentence that, this is how it kind of happens in another way. She says, "Those who transgress the law of God in their physical organism," which the body, "will be inclined to violate the law of God spoken from Sinai." So pretty much, when we put those unhealthy things in our body, we are more inclined to break God's moral law. Why is that? Because there's a big mind-body connection. Now, whatever we do has an effect on the mind. It's either for good or bad. Now, I would hope that we all would want to do the good part, but the problem is every bad thing, sort of has its fun part and its pleasure, right? That's why everybody wants to eat the chocolate and the cheese and the You know, that's why everybody loves their meat, right? But are those things really good for you?
No.
I only heard one no. Are those things really good for you?
No.
That's better. Okay. See, because everything we have, everything we do, including, you know, meat, of course, we're not designed to eat meat. We all know that, you know? And if you just study a little bit on it, you'll see why. Because it causes a lot of danger. Once it gets into your GI tract, it stays there a long time. And you wouldn't eat a chicken or something that had been sitting out on the table all day, would you?
No.
Why? Why wouldn't you? Why not? It's just sitting there on the table, you know? It's bacteria, right? Well, what about inside your body? It's sitting there forever. So, well, for a while, till it finally leaves. But that's like sitting poison right there. And anything that, you know, can cause problems like that, you know, overeating can, Ellen White extensively talks on how overeating causes the mind power to be taken out, because when you eat a whole lot of food, the stomach can't handle it. And the immune system has to be called. And of course, when the immune system is fighting something, when you're sick, that's usually when the immune system is working, right? Is that your most smartest time? No, I wouldn't think so. I had a fever just probably a week ago. Yeah, I didn't even go to church last week. I had such a bad fever, and I did not think so well. So that has an effect, you know. And a lot of things, you know, like for example, cheese. A doctor I heard on the radio, I don't know where he's from or whatever, but he said that only 25% of the population can digest cheese. The other, I guess, 75%, it just sort of goes through and rots. So I don't really want anything rotting in me, you know, because that's poison and toxins going into the brain. And here's some more, I'll get to this. But what is that? That sounds kind of dirty, right? When you hear something rotting, does that sound clean?
No.
Of course not. But when you, the inside of your body is a lot of the times dirty, depending on what you put in it, what type of foods you give it. But what does the Bible say about our body? Well, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, we'll check it out. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Holy. Have you ever thought about how, you know, I mean, if it's a gift from God, why do we do things with it? I mean, people say, it's my body, I can put whatever I want in it, you know? Doesn't affect me any. But really, it's not. It's supposed to be the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit. That's God. That's, you know, what's right here. It says that, you know, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Now, here's another quote from Healthful Living. It says, it's a Healthful Living, page 9. It says, "We are God's workmanship, and his word declares that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's prepared this wonderful habitation for the mind. It is curiously wrought, a temple which the Lord has fitted up for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit." We're called to be holy. We're called to be the last people in the end times. What would you think if I decide, you know, if I, you know, after potluck, I don't know if there's potluck today here. I know there is somewhere else, but what would you think If I went to the fellowship hall after a good, nice potluck and pulled out a bag of trash and just, you know, this looks way too clean, you know. Let's fix that. So what if I went over here and just dump the trash all over the place. Trash, you know. Dump some more over here. That looks better, right? Yeah. What if I did that? What would you guys think of me? I would clean it up. I wouldn't do it in the first place, but yes, I would definitely. I thought about that, but then I thought I'd just let you guys' imagination do the work for me. So, but what would that look like? Trash all over here. It's the temple of God. What, you know, and we ask God's Spirit to be here, right? We ask God's Spirit to come into us and to come here to this place. Would God come here if there was trash all over the stage, all over the place? Well, would he? If we invited the Holy Spirit, to come here, if he would come, why do we keep it all clean? You know? Man wouldn't be very happy about it. Would God? No. So I my answer to that is no. The Holy Spirit would not come. The Holy Spirit would not be present. But what makes up here any different than our bodies? They're both a temple. And in fact, this is living, though. This temple, the body that we have, it's a living thing. This is just a building. And yet, if we would take care of a building, why not take care of the exact gift that God gave us? And it says, Ellen White says in Counsels and Dad's Foods, page 57, eating, drinking, and dressing all have a direct bearing upon our spiritual advancement. Now, we, as a Seventh-day Adventist, we need, you know, the goal is to constantly be advancing, right? The above quote over here says, we cannot afford to dwarf or cripple any function of body or mind. Can we afford to do that? There's so much sin out there, so many temptations. How can we can barely take it as is, but when our mind is clouded, you know, what would we do? Take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So far as recorded, I guess that's pretty much, yeah. Only three out of the entire nation of Israelites wouldn't bow down. They would not bow down to the image. And they were the only ones, pretty much, besides Daniel, who knows where he was, but only ones who had taken care of their bodies, and they were the ones who had the clear enough minds to say, no, we're not going to bow down. Because they had exercised control on their bodies. They had learned that if they could control their physical organism and do what they can to keep it in shape, then they were spiritually capable of choosing right from wrong. And they were honored because of that. They were honored. And you know, time is short. Time is really, really short. These days right now we're living in, they really are the last days. You look around everywhere. You see disasters. You see chaos. Not necessarily here in America. But there are a couple weeks ago or something where it was like massive tornado destruction all over the place. There's crime. You hear it on the news almost every day. Actually, every day, multiple times. And yet, that's only a small scale. That's like this much of all that's not really happening because the news people can't pick it up. It's everywhere. You know, all the signs are being fulfilled. The Constitution is now pretty much, you know, we could all be arrested right now, taken by the military, taken and put in jail, killed, whatever. For no reason, for any reason, really. For any reason, just whatever they say. You're Seventh-day Adventist, you're a terrorist group. You're coming now. You know, that's how serious it is. We don't have a Bill of Rights anymore. When Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act, that took away our rights. Well, we were already losing them, but now that finished them off for sure. Time is almost up. Time is almost up. We're losing our freedoms. How much longer are we going to have the freedom to be here in church? I don't think much longer with that authority that the government now has. So there's one thing that has not been fulfilled yet. What is that? Does anyone know? What, out of all the things that the Bible says, what has not been fulfilled? That's right. Now let's turn to Matthew 28 so that we can all see that from the Bible. Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. I have a question. If the Holy Spirit wouldn't come here, if we had trash all over the place, and he wouldn't come into our bodies, how are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to go throughout all the world? We can't do it on our own. There's the only way we can do it is if the Holy Spirit is in us. And if the Holy Spirit won't come in us because we've defiled our temples, we're stuck. But there is hope, right? I could clean up all this stuff. I could clean up all the trash, right? There's hope. We can quit. We can take care of our bodies and quit trashing it inside. I mean, of course, we're not all trashing it. I mean, there are those people who are, you know, vegans, vegetarians. You're on the right track, but there's a lot of little things. That's why I strongly recommend you read Councils on Diet and Foods and all the other health literature you can get your hands on. But that's... It's a serious thing. But just think, though, what could this church do if we all reformed? If we all reformed our diets, the Holy Spirit could come in us. We could, you know, at Pentecost, right? The early rain, right? All the apostles went everywhere preaching. And how many? 3,000 people were baptized in one day. Those were just a couple guys. What could we do today? If the whole church was filled with the Holy Spirit, could be all over the place. Fallbrook could be reached. The whole town could be reached. As many as it could be. We could go farther. Temecula, you know, Bonzel, Vista, Escondido, Oceanside, all these places. But why does God ask this? Please turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 9, and we'll be reading through verse 11, or 2, verse 11. See, I've always wondered, though, God always asks these things that seem so hard. And I, you know, I love chocolate. I love all this stuff. He wants me to give up this candy. I love all this stuff. Sugar. It's my favorite thing on the planet, right? But why does he want this? All right, let's read this. Verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if the son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God wants to give good gifts to us. He cares for us. He wants the best for us. He wants the... He wants us to be that holy people that he can bless, that he can prosper. And please turn with me to 3 John chapter 1. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." See, everything that God asks, he wants, and he asks it for our good. Once you realize that, it's all easy, because once you realize how much God loves you, then it's all easy. Because a love relationship, you can't beat love. You cannot beat love. So today, let's glorify God in everything that we do, in our bodies, in our minds, in everything. Glorify God.